Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Chris. You probably see me running around with two small kids most Sundays. If I haven't met you yet, excited to, well, maybe meet you after this. But yeah, I've been attending here with my wife Melissa for about 8 years, and Pastor Paul asked me to preach maybe once a year, so yeah, excited to do that again today. I'm getting over a cold, so I do have a cough, and of course I woke up this morning with a worse cough than normal, so bear with me if I need to pause and have some water. 80% of us are probably getting over some sort of cough of some sort, so today's going to be a little random. I know Pastor Paul, we've been working through the book of Romans. We're going to still pause on Romans. I'm pretty sure Pastor Paul will be starting Romans up soon. And we're going to jump all the way back in the Bible to 1 Kings. And 1 Kings is one of those books I really don't think I've personally heard a lot of sermons on. We don't talk about it too much, but there's a lot there. There's a lot of really cool history in 1 Kings. And so we're going to touch on a little bit of 1 Kings here this morning. But the question I have for you right off the bat, and the main question that I want you to think about this morning, is what is the condition of your heart? I'm not talking about medically. I'm not asking for copies of your medical records. I'm not asking you to go, you know, get an EKG or put a heart monitor on. But what I'm asking you to consider is what is the condition of your heart towards God? Is your heart, is your mind, your soul positioned in a way that God will dwell with you? Is your heart positioned in a way that is ready to build a place for God to dwell? Build a place for God to dwell in for the glory of God. That is the question that King Solomon faced back in 1 Kings as he sought after God to build a place for God to dwell. And that's where we pick up the story in 1 Kings. Today, as we just finished Christmas, and now we enter a new year, I want us to pause, and I want us to consider what our heart condition is, and specifically what our heart posture is as we are faced with a response of God desiring to dwell with us and God paving the way for the conditions to be right for his dwelling to happen. It's a chance to start the new year with a reflection and a deep dive into what our heart posture is toward God who desires to dwell with us. Let's pray before we start. Father God, amidst all the chaos of the Christmas season, now trying to center our hearts and our minds into what you want us to hear, God, I ask that it be your words, not mine. I pray that any distractions that might happen in the next half an hour, any ways that we think about other things or get pulled into other things, I just pray that you help us to center our mind and our heart on what you want us to hear this morning. Thank you for your desire to dwell with us, and I pray that we can learn even a little bit about what that looks like for us and for what our heart and our response for that, God. And so I just ask again that it be your words, not mine this morning. Amen. Okay, so the passages we are reading this morning are large. We're going to cover like 4 chapters of 1 Kings. I'm not going to read all 4 chapters with you today, or we'd be here much into the afternoon, and I'm supposed to do another, we're doing 2 services, so there's no way I can pull that off. That being said, I would encourage you to open your Bible. If you don't have one, I believe there's some kind of in front of you in the back of the chairs. Because we will be kind of covering a bunch of 1 Kings here. We're going to be touching on, we're going to kind of be hovering in chapter 5 of 1 Kings and then touching on chapter 6, 7, and 8 as well. But what I want to do is I want to first paint the picture of where we are in history within the passage. And this helps showcase what Solomon's heart condition was at the time. And remember that main question, what is your heart posture right now towards God? In 1 Kings, we first see the death of King David. Yes, this is the same David that fought Goliath. Solomon is David's son, and he ends up being anointed king. There's some interpersonal turmoil early on after David's death and in and around the time that Solomon takes over the throne. In fact, one of Solomon's brothers is trying to take... Anyways, a bunch of turmoil there. And so Solomon has already dealt with some conflict. And then in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, we see a prayer from Solomon. And in the prayer and the story leading into the prayer, we see a couple things. First, we see in chapter 3, verse 3, that Solomon loved the Lord. But we also understand that at the time, there was no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. And so people, including Solomon, were sacrificing at the high places. And so the high places were places that were elevated, so they were hills or mountains or like literally elevated places. And we find them in a bunch of places in Scripture, Numbers 33:52, Isaiah 16:12, Leviticus 26:30. Those three instances, high places that were dedicated to idols and false gods. And we also see high places that were dedicated to our God, the God of the Israelites. We see this in several places, Genesis 12, Genesis 22, including Mount Sinai as well as a form of a high place. And so high places were a general term that were used to describe places of worship, both to our God, but also to a bunch of other gods. Ultimately, there was no set place for the people to go to God, and so various high places were used for worship to God. And this led to worship of many other gods, which we also see later in Kings. In fact, Solomon ends up using high places to worship other gods later on. So those are two important facts that point to the condition of Solomon and the Israelites. Solomon loved God, but there was not a physical set place to encounter God other than the high places, which were also places of idol worship. So what does Solomon do? He prays. A long prayer, but in chapter 3, verse 9, Solomon says something that pleases God. He says to God, "Give your servant... therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." Solomon asks God for discernment, for wisdom. God grants him this in verse 12 because Solomon's heart posture was seeking after God. That's the key here as we think about this. Solomon's heart posture at this time was a longing for understanding, a longing for wisdom to know the difference between good and evil and to help govern his people the best he can. Solomon sought after God and his heart posture was seeking after God. But there was still the problem of there not being a physical place for God to dwell. And just before we jump ahead to chapter 5 where we're going to settle in, where we'll spend the bulk of today on, we also see in chapter 4 the incredible blessings that God pours on Israel. Solomon at this time. Israel and Solomon had abundance. They had wealth. In verse 4:27, it says, "They let nothing be lacking." So Israel was prospering, Solomon was prospering, yet there was still the problem of there not being a physical place for God to dwell. The temple, a place where God dwells, had not been built yet. So in chapter 5, we start seeing the way in which God set up the appointed time for his dwelling place to be made. So God has put Solomon in place. He's put a man seeking after God. He has prospered the nation of Israel. And this comes after decades of tumultuous rule of David where battles and enemies were all over. And in chapter 5, verse 4, we see now, it says, "But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune." The physical condition of the land was strong. The God-appointed time was here. This was not done by any earthly action. God was setting the building blocks in place for the condition, both physically and within the hearts of the Israelites, to be ready to build and to be ready to build a place for God to dwell. The appointed time for God to physically dwell with his people had arrived. What's important to ask yourself as we continue, if the appointed time was right now for God to dwell with you, how would you respond? Think about that for a minute. For Solomon, he responds with intentionality and with action. Chapter 5 of 1 Kings shows us an interpersonal alliance between two nations to create the necessary plans and resources to build the dwelling place of God. Both Solomon and Hiram, king of Tyre, another ruler who knew Solomon's father David and loved Solomon's father, came together to combine resources and prepare the temple, prepare God's dwelling place. I love a couple of verses in the middle of this, chapter 5, 6, and 7, and we're going to read that now because we're going to kind of hover on these three verses this morning. So chapter 1 Kings 5, 5 through 7. And so I intend, this is Solomon, I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord said to David my father, your son whom I will set on your throne in your place shall build the house for my name. Now therefore command that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me, and my servants will join your servants. And I will pay you for your servants such wages as you set. For you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians. As soon as Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, who has given to David a wise son to be over this great people. So why are these verses so key? Well, it points to the heart posture, the heart condition of Solomon as well as Hiram towards God, because the time was right for the building of the temple. They responded to the appointed time by God. We see in verse 5 the intent by Solomon. Solomon states that he intends to build the house for the name of the Lord. Solomon intends to build the temple. Why? For the name of the Lord. A temple so that God can be glorified. The house shall be built for my name. That is God's name. This house had been promised to David in a covenant by God, and it was promised to David that David's son would build it one day. So God is fulfilling a promise to David through Solomon and through the intended time that was now. Solomon, while having a heart posture directed towards God, desires to honor God by creating a place for God to dwell. Solomon no longer wanted his people to go to the high places. He wanted a central, beautiful, physical space for God to dwell in. Verse 6 is really a summary of the plans, a summary of the action plans. Hiram and Solomon joined forces because they could not do it alone. God provided Hiram and the timbers of Lebanon, of which Hiram owned, to be used for his glory. So we first see the intent, and now we see that action plan. They don't just sit back and let a temple appear out of the ground. They know that God wants them to act. They know that God wants them to trust. It's not just this birds in the sky, blue sky kind of dreaming moment. It's a detailed plan given by God to Solomon at the appointed time for God to dwell with his people. And then verse 7 is the rejoicing at God's plan, rejoicing at the appointed time, acknowledging the glory of God. Hiram says, blessed be the Lord this day. Hiram acknowledges God, gives glory to God, while also honoring Solomon as the right person appointed by God for the time. So we have the intent and we have the action. Why? For the glory of God. I say this as we go back to the main question we asked at the beginning. What is the posture of your heart towards God? What is the condition of your heart? For Solomon and King Hiram, it was a heart that wanted God to dwell with them, that had intention to do whatever it took to create a space for God to dwell with them. It was a condition that went into action, that put aside interpersonal differences, that shared resources and worked together for the glory of God so that God could dwell with them. It was a heart that glorified God, rejoiced at the appointed time that God had created to dwell with them. They allowed God to work through them at his appointed time. They had a heart posture towards God that was intentional, that actually responded and took action in specific ways, but that also recognized and acknowledged God's glory and the reason for all of it, that celebrated God. What is yours? What is your heart posture towards God? What is your heart condition? As we continue in the story, the next few verses and chapters show the way in which the temple, God's dwelling place, was built. The rest of chapter 5 is really how people were organized, what materials were used. It's a continuation of that action plan in verse 6. In chapter 6, we see the specifics of the temple. And in the middle of chapter 6, something really important is stated. And this again asks the question, what is the condition of your heart towards God? Chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon concerning this house that you are building. If you will walk in my statutes and obey my rules and keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David your father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will not forsake my people. These verses are a challenge and a promise from God to those who keep their heart condition in line with God. As we keep God's commandments, as our heart posture is in line with God's, as we walk with God, what does God say? He says, I will establish my word with you, and what else? That God will dwell among us and not forsake us. This is an incredible promise from God, a promise that we can remind ourselves of as we look to our own condition, as we look to our own hearts. The reward for a heart condition, a heart posture that follows God, is that God will establish his word with us and dwell with us. The God of the universe wants to and creates a plan to dwell with us. Isn't that amazing? We see this physically in 1 Kings. Right after these words in chapter 6, verse 14, it says, so Solomon built the house and finished it. The house of God is completed. The temple is completed. The rest of chapter 6 shows the incredible detail that is put into the house of God, as there should be for the house of God. In chapter 7, we see a continuation of that with the furnishings that are put into it and the elegance that is put into the temple. We see a mention of King Hiram's continued involvement. And then finally, in chapter 8, we see the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God himself, be brought into the temple. Chapter 8, verse 6, then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. So God enters the house through the Ark of the Covenant. Chapter 8, verse 10 and 11 are amazing. It says, and when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The glory of the Lord filled the house. God had an appointed time created in his wisdom to dwell with the Israelites. Everything fell into place, from peace in the land to resources to the relationship between Solomon and King Hiram. And King Hiram and Solomon had a heart condition towards God to listen, to respond, to intentionally act at the appointed time. And what happened? God came and dwelt, and the glory of God filled the place. What is incredible as we dive into how all of this fits with us today is that we all have access to the same glory of God. God wants to dwell with us. God desires to fill not only this place, but fill our individual lives with his glory. The appointed time for God to dwell with us is also right now. The appointed time for God to dwell with you is also right now. We just took a crash course on temple building, the appointed time for the temple in 1 Kings. But that question remains. What is your heart posture? What is the posture of your heart towards God? Is your heart postured? Is your heart positioned in a way that is ready for God to dwell with you? Are you ready to respond to the appointed time that God gives us to dwell with us? Because I love to break it to you. that time is now. We know that the temple was an earthly creation that our very real God dwelled in at the time. But even that temple of Solomon was destroyed at the end of 2 Kings, and the Israelites were dragged into exile. In fact, Kings is written during this exile to the Israelites, the fragments that were left. And it was written as an encouragement and a reminder of God's incredible desire to dwell with us. God had another appointed time to come dwell with us, and this time it wasn't in the form of a building. I'll give somebody one guess. Jesus. We just finished celebrating Christmas. Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus at the appointed time. The Savior of the world. God sending himself through his Son to now dwell with his people. No longer was it and is it a physical building. Instead, it's a physical person, Jesus, who came to dwell with his people. This physical person lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and took our sins and paved a way for us to have access to God, to dwell with God. As our intercessor and give us access to God through Jesus, not through going to the temple, not through going to the high places, but directly to Jesus and therefore directly to God. Jesus didn't stay dead and he rose again and then he now sits with God. What is amazing is that God dwells with us now through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is given to all who believe. Something really cool. Remember, so back in 1 Kings 8, when God is brought into the temple and the cloud fills the temple and God's presence and glory is there. Well, listen to Acts 2, 1 to 4. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God filled the entire house. And what happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. God, at his appointed time, gave the call to Solomon to build a place for God to dwell, and God did dwell. Hundreds of years later, God came, this time as a person, Jesus, who died and rose again, and then he left his people with himself, the Holy Spirit, not a physical building this time, but when he did, God dwelled. God filled the place. God filled each individual believer. And now, 2,000 years after that, we still have God dwelling with us through the Holy Spirit. No longer do we have to go to the high places or the temple for God. He is with all of us who believe. Tons of verses here, but a couple I want to touch on. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And now we become God's dwelling place on earth so that God can be glorified. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? I say all this because with this comes our response. And the rest of this morning, as we begin to conclude, I want to talk about our response. God's appointed time is not just back in the days of Solomon. God's appointed time to dwell with us is right now, sitting here right now. Ask yourself, does God dwell with you? Have you accepted the gift of God, Jesus, who came to dwell with you and give you access to God, not by your own work, but solely because God wants to dwell with us, has a burning desire to dwell with his people? And this has never wavered. God has always wanted to dwell with us. Even back to the time of Adam and Eve, God wanted to dwell and wants to dwell with his people. Is your heart condition, your heart posture, your heart position ready to receive God as his dwelling place on earth so that he can be glorified and showcased to the world? Are we ready to build a dwelling place for God in our own lives? Solomon and Hiram did this as their heart was opened to God dwelling with them. And now we each have the individual amazing gift of God dwelling with each of us through the Holy Spirit. But we have to accept this gift and then live this out. What does that look like? I want to go back to those three verses in the heart of 1 Kings 5 because they serve as our blueprint. Our blueprint to answer this question. And so, again, back in 1 Kings 5, Solomon says, I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord said to to David my father, your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name. Now therefore command that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me, and my servants will join your servants. And I will pay you for your servants such wages as you set, for you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians. As soon as Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, who has given to David a wise son to be over this great people. Intent, action, acknowledgement. Three words that we're going to quickly discuss now as we ask the question, what is our heart posture towards God? Is our heart positioned in a way that is ready for God to dwell? Is our heart posture intent on building a house for God to dwell in? Is our heart posture ready to act on what God is calling us to so that God can dwell with us? And is our heart posture acknowledging that everything that we have is because of God? And are we giving glory to God joyfully in all that we do? Is our heart posture glorifying God only, or do other things get the glory? God longs to dwell with his people. Always has, as I said, since Adam and Eve, through the Israelites in the desert with the tabernacle, through the temple, a couple of temples, and then culminating in Jesus, and now through the Holy Spirit in us, God longs to dwell with his people. What is sad is that we so often reject this idea of God dwelling with us. We fill our hearts, we condition our hearts and our minds away from this idea of God dwelling with us. We fill our hearts and our minds with so many other things. Even though the appointed time is now, as it was for Solomon, we do not intend for God to dwell with us, and we push through our lives rejecting God. We fill our lives with things other than God. We push God down in priority or even completely out of our lives. As we look at this lesson from Solomon, he was ready for God to dwell with him and his people. He then intentionally created a plan with God's help for God to dwell with him. For Solomon, that was physically building a temple. It was a physical building. But for us, what does that intention look like? What would happen in our lives if we intentionally made a plan for God to dwell with us every single day? God, through his holiness, must be separate from sin. And so our intention starts with striving for righteousness, striving to live a life with our heart and mind and soul ready for God to dwell with us. If we are to take seriously the God of the universe asking to dwell with us, we better make some intentional plans to have our heart ready. If God were to knock on your door and ask to come in for dinner, would you not want to do everything that you can to make your house ready? You know, make an elegant dinner, clean the bathroom, whatever. That's why the temple was so majestic, why there were chapters written about the detail and the furnishings within the temple so God can be honored and glorified. Yet if we are the temple, how often are our minds and bodies and souls and hearts and our lives filled with disgusting, sinful, distracted things? Maybe it's not even disgusting things. Maybe it's just that God dwelling with us is not a priority, and so we fill our time and our minds with other things. For Solomon, his utmost priority at the time was to build a place for God to dwell. Is that our priority today in our lives? I can tell you in my own life, I have to do a bunch of cleaning, scrubbing the sink and the toilet all the time if I were to make my house ready to glorify God. I do want to say this, though, and this is really important. The amazing truth of being on this side of the cross is that God dwells with us through Jesus as our intercessor, even if and even when our house is not perfect. God is still coming in whether the toilet is cleaned or not. We just have to allow him in. The incredible grace of God through Jesus allows our imperfect house to still be a dwelling place for God. Because of what Jesus took on through the cross, Without Jesus, God could not dwell with us because it is filled with sin, because it is dirty. Yet Jesus breaks down that barrier. Because God desired to create a way to dwell with us, just as he did with Solomon. I don't want you to walk away today and assume that because your house is not clean, that God won't enter it. I don't want you to get bogged down in seeking perfection, because that's an impossible state to achieve without God. God comes, God redeems us. We've been talking about that in Romans. And he chooses to dwell with us despite our imperfections, because of Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the truth. God's appointed time to dwell with us is now, despite our imperfections. It's then our job, therefore, to be intentional with allowing God into our lives and allowing God's dwelling place, ourselves, then to glorify God. Our purpose on life is to glorify God and to allow our lives to shine and glorify God. Once we have the intentional acceptance of Jesus and the intentional acceptance that God wants to dwell with us, and we accept that truth, we then have a calling. And this calling is to intentionally work towards making our lives a dwelling place for God, preparing and living out our lives as his temple so that God can be glorified with our lives. We need to prepare our hearts, prepare the plans as Solomon did, for God to dwell and continue to dwell in our lives. These plans are not contingent on any of our work. They're not contingent on our house being perfect. They are God-ordained plans to dwell with us. They are God appointing his will and his plan for such a time as this on our lives. It's because of God making the conditions right to dwell with us that we even have the opportunity to live it out. Just like with Solomon, if the conditions weren't there, if there wasn't peace, if King Hiram wasn't partnering with Solomon, if there was interpersonal turmoil unresolved, then the temple might not have been ready. Yet God created the avenue for the time to be there. Now on this side of the cross, that time is always there because of Jesus and because of the Holy Spirit. The condition is now. How do we act on this? Imagine Solomon knew that God was wanting to dwell with them, and he was like, meh, I'll let someone else do that. God in his power and his wisdom could have used someone else, but no. Solomon responded, so did King Hiram, someone who was not even part of God's people at the time, with action. Steps were taken to prepare for the temple, for the building of the temple, and the temple was built. What action are we taking in response to God's appointed time to dwell with us being right now? What action are we taking now that the condition to build is ready? The prayer of Solomon in 1 Kings 3 is an example of how Solomon acted on this. Solomon sought after God and asked God for wisdom. Are we seeking after God, seeking after the wisdom of God every day of our lives? That's a first and crucial step in our action plan. And there are many, 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 many other steps in the action plan of responding to God's desire to dwell with us. It starts with accepting God dwelling with us. It continues in many ways. That might mean taking a leap and doing something that makes you uncomfortable. It might mean ridding yourselves of things that lead you away from God. Maybe it's an interpersonal struggle that is preventing action from happening. Imagine Solomon and Hiram chose to not get along. Maybe Hiram didn't want to share the timbers. God used the interpersonal relationships for himself to be glorified through the building of the temple. What do your interpersonal relationships look like? Is God being glorified through them, or are they a roadblock that interferes with God's work in your life? What action is God calling you into as his dwelling place so that he can be glorified? These actions might be simple little things, getting up early to pray, watching what we put into our bodies, ensuring our homes are God-honoring, striving every day to honor God. Many lists and passages we can look at. But again, ask yourself, what is God asking you to do for his glory because he dwells with you? And finally, that third piece we see in the story of Solomon and the temple, and in response to God creating the appointed time to dwell with us, is that everything that we do should glorify and give acknowledgement and celebration of God. If we are God's dwelling place, our God-given command and purpose on this earth is to bring God glory. What does King Hiram say in 1 Kings 5:7? I'll read it one more time. As soon as Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord this day who has given to David a wise son to be over his great people." Hiram rejoices because he acknowledged and realized that God wanted to dwell on earth. He rejoiced at the way God made a plan through Solomon for this to happen, and he gives all the glory to God. He doesn't glorify himself or make excuses. He gives God the glory for creating the right time, plan to dwell. God dwells with each of us today. Are we acknowledging that? Does that make a difference in our hearts? Does that make a difference in our mindset? What would your life look like if God didn't dwell with you? For a lot of us, we can go back to those times that our life was a mess. Back to times where we were living apart from God, not accepting him in to dwell with us. Maybe right now you're sitting here and God is not dwelling with you. How is that going? I can promise you that for everyone here who has accepted God dwelling with them, it has changed their life dramatically for the better. Ask the person who invited you here what changed after they accepted God dwelling with them. For myself, it dramatically shifted the weight I felt of the sin in my life. It dramatically shifted my mindset and brought great joy in my life. It's not to say everything is perfect, but my mindset and my outlook is different. God came and dwelt with me, and I now desire to live my life for the glory of God, and I strive to acknowledge the glory of God in my life. As we start to do this, our mindset changes. As we do this, the condition of our heart changes. We desire to position our heart to bring God glory. We don't go into a situation and have no hope, no purpose, because our hope and our purpose is rooted in bringing God glory even when things don't make sense. Hiram rejoiced greatly and gave glory to God. Let's use that as a model to frame our mindset, to celebrate and rejoice and give glory to God in all that we do because he desires to dwell with us. The God of the universe came and dwells with each of us. The time to build is now. The conditions are met, and God is here to dwell with us forever. How are we responding? Solomon and Hiram responded with open hearts to build a dwelling place for God. What are we building today? Are we building a place where God dwells? Is the condition of our heart ready for God to dwell with us? Are we positioning our hearts in a way that is honoring God who dwells with us? Are we building a place for God to dwell corporately? Is the condition of our church ready for this to be done? What steps are we taking to work together for the glory of God so that he can dwell with us and his glory can be shown to the earth? The end of 2 Kings, the temple is destroyed and the Israelites are carried off to Babylon. The writer of Kings is writing to these people who are now in exile. Why is that important? There was given a hope that God will continue to build, will continue to dwell with his people in exile at the appointed time. We can think about that today as we're faced with sort of exile in our own lives sometimes. God desires to dwell with us even now. The appointed time comes through Jesus, who came to dwell with us in flesh, fully God and fully man. This Jesus came at God's appointed time to dwell with us. Are you ready for God to dwell with you? Is your heart condition ready? Is the position of our heart ready to build something with Jesus for the glory of God? God wants us to be intentional in how we respond to God, to God's desire to dwell with us. God wants us to respond with action, accepting this gift, honoring God with our lives, and by giving glory to God in all things. What is the posture of your heart? Are you ready for God to dwell with you today? God wants nothing more than to dwell with us. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for your burning desire to dwell with your people. And your burning desire to dwell with us even when we don't deserve it, even when our minds are distracted, even when we push you down in our lives, you have this incredible holy desire to dwell with us. And I thank you for that. And I pray that you can help us to be intentional with allowing you in, intentional with creating an action plan to have you dwell with us and to have that make a difference in our life. And I pray that we can be intentional in how we glorify you with our lives, because that is the purpose of why we are here, to glorify you, God. So I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the example that Solomon and King Hiram give us as they built the temple. Thank you for all that you do.